tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie.
Pray that the holy water don't go dry, yeah, yeah. As I look around me, so many motherfuckers wanna tell me. But enemy gon' never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they felt me. And I love myself.
The world is a ghetto, big guns and dicky fries.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Take the Points podcast. I am Tom Zalesnok in Hartford, Connecticut, and I'm live via Skype with Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett from Phoenix, Arizona. Gentlemen, welcome to Trump's America.
You son of a bitch. Oh,
thanks. Good to be here.
I've heard...
Make this podcast great.
I have never heard so many people so interested in Middle America. And the three of us came from Middle America, you know, upstate New York. I would consider that Middle America. It certainly has more in common with the Midwest than it does with, like, New York City, Boston, L.A., for example. You two, as Middle Americans, what would you say to the rest of the country?
We are Middle Americans. We're on the West Coast.
Well, you are now. You're reformed Middle Americans. I'm so sick of hearing people, like... talk about how, like, horrible the Midwest is and how bad everyone's struggling and how, like, everybody's on opioids. Like, it's fine. I was just in Syracuse 3 weeks ago. Everything's good there. Except for Onondaga Lake.
Well, Onondaga Lake is not good. But, yeah, like, people like to exaggerate, but I feel like if I'm John Cougar Mellencamp, there's room for a revival right now. Like, he could definitely sell some concert tickets. That's all I really have to say on the subject. That's what I was thinking while you were saying that. That shows you where my mind is.
That's a damn good idea. Couple of red hats, put Cougar on it. Oh, that guy's going to make a mint.
Ain't that America?
Make houses pink again?
It'd be great. All right.
The Coug. All right, never mind. I don't want to talk about the Coug. Let's move on. We have a non-political, all-entertaining, fun hour or 45 minutes of college football talk, and we have a lot to get into, and we're going to give America a little bit of – I'm losing it already. We're going to give America a little bit of enjoyment this week. Lost in all the election talk was that we had, like, one of the greatest weekends of college football you've ever seen. Clemson loses, number two – Michigan, number three, loses. Washington, number four, loses. I was on the website 538.com, which is like a data site. They do a lot of political forecasting, but they also do sports. They analyzed this weekend of college football, and they said it was the fourth craziest week of all time in terms of the wild upsets. But I did my own analysis by looking at their analysis and seeing if I agreed. And I think it's third. I think they have overranked the November weekend of 2011. I actually think that this is the third craziest weekend of all time. So, thoughts? Ryan, let's start with you this time. We always start with Dan. Screw him.
Hey, all right. Yeah.
Yeah,
thanks.
Good. Thanks.
I think it was definitely a crazy weekend, but it was definitely something that we should have seen coming, because every year we say it's not going to happen. These teams are all going undefeated. There's no loss on the schedule. And every year it happens. Super fun. And I think the best part about that weekend was that the games were all spread out. So the upsets, you could actually see them all separately in real time, instead of being on one game and getting a text from somebody like, "Hey, check this out, 40 seconds left." I mean, it was kind of nicely spread out, so you could see it all day.
Mm-hmm. Dan, takeaways? Any of these wins or losses surprise you, or any that you thought would happen?
Well, first of all, the Clemson just had a horrible meltdown. Like, just some, like, really small things that just, like, added up. Like, that was a super exciting game, by the way. And, I mean, obviously, if they play each other 10 times, Clemson's going to win 10, but hats off to Pitt. They scored a lot of points. But more importantly, Michigan. Just had this feeling all year that they were ready to choke one game away, and it finally happened. Iowa getting 24 points by kickoff was really crazy. That should have kind of told us that it was out of control. But I don't know. It was a fun weekend of college football. It kind of creates a mess. I think a weekend like this helps us in the long run, not the short term. I think short term it fucks up this year a little bit. But I think it will help us go to an 18 playoff with 5 conference champions and 3 wild cards. They'll say, well, when weeks like this happen, it doesn't really matter. Let's focus on the conference champions. And, you know, after that, we'll choose the best 3 at-large teams. So I think long-term, this past weekend was actually very beneficial for college football. But for right now, it's a mess. We'll just have to sort it out.
Well, considering all of the upsets, the top four hasn't really changed that drastically. The new top four is Bama, Ohio State, Michigan stays at 3rd, and then Clemson drops to 4th. Louisville just outside the bubble. Of course, this doesn't matter that much because Ohio State will play Michigan, and pretty much at this point you can say the loser of that game is probably getting bounced from the playoff. That'll make way for a Washington to sneak back in, or a Louisville, or something else. But to spill its point, we do this every single year. People play this up, and in November, shit just goes crazy. So, one of these years, we're going to have to actually realize this and go into November and be like, everybody just cool out. I don't think we're done either with the upsets, but we'll see how that goes. Wilton Spate injured for Michigan. I thought that's a big blow. One thing about Michigan, they had not been challenged, and I think I texted this to you guys on Saturday, but they're a very good team. They have a great defense. They can move the ball. They have playmakers. But when you don't challenge yourself for, 8, 9 weeks, then when you finally have to go on the road and you have to play a team like Iowa who's mediocre or slightly above average, it's a lot more challenging than if you're Alabama and you've been playing tough teams the whole time. So I think Michigan did themselves a great disservice by the scheduling they had. Not that it's entirely within their control. You know, these things are scheduled years in advance. But had they played a bit of a tougher schedule early on, I think they'd be better prepared. Also, the thing with Michigan that people forget, some of it's not their fault. Like, they played Penn State. Penn State was without their starting 3 linebackers beginning the game, and then they lost 2 more linebackers in the game. And Michigan also played Colorado, but without their quarterback for half the game. So Michigan could be more well prepared, but things have not broken their way. I think they're going to be the odd man looking out at the playoff, but we'll get to that. Anything else you guys want to add about college football last week, or just general thoughts before we start the lines? No?
One small thing. Hats off to Las Vegas. Once in a while, you just have to compliment them on a super sharp line that if you explain this to an average person, you know, to the 99.9% of the, you know, country that doesn't sports bet or whatever, like, me and Ryan were talking about it briefly, Texas Tech over under closed at 89.5, final score 45-44, 89. Very good job, Vegas. So opened at 88.5, closed at 89.5, ends on 89. Like, that's just hard to explain to people, and always interesting to me how they come up with those numbers. They're like, oh yeah, 89, 86, over, way over. 91, bet the house on the under. Like, what? What does it matter at that point? How can you, like, kind of figure it out once it gets over 75? You know, it's tough. So anyway, good job, Vegas. Great fun weekend. Looking forward to this weekend a lot, actually. This weekend gets overlooked, but there's always a couple really good games.
All right.
Glad you brought that up, Dan. Real quick, Tom, that we can start off the podcast with the bad beat of the week. If you did bet the over in that game, like I did, the reason that it ended at 89 is because Texas Tech scored 45-44. All they had to do was hit the extra point with a minute 20 left, tie the game, overtime, way over with those two teams, and the guy shanks an extra point. Absolutely just a bad beat of the week. I was already standing up, already celebrating overtime.
Under.
Brutal.
Yeah, there were some great, great moments in gambling history. There was that. Penn State also was about to push, and with 30 seconds left, Indiana fumbles the football. Penn State scoops and scores. So that's a game that I won, and anyone else who bet on Penn State won and didn't really deserve it. But as I've said many times, a win's a win. Straight cash, homie.
I'll take it.
Take that paper. All right, we're going to start with two Thursday games. We do this because this is one of the games we thought would be a huge one early on. It's still a pretty big game, but doesn't have the significance we thought. Spill it, you've been waiting for this one all year. Louisville -14.5 at Houston.
Oh, man. What could have been? What could have been? This should have been two undefeated teams. Really disappointed with Houston having that little mini collapse. But really excited about this game. I mean, 14.5. I've seen it at 14 even is what I have it at. So I think that half point's a little bit shady. 13.5 seems a little bit smarter to me. If it was me, I'd take Houston. If it's 14.5, I would take Houston. If it's 13.5, I would take Louisville. I really think it's that close.
All right. Next Thursday night game, Arkansas State at Troy. Troy, many of you may have noticed, actually many of you, like probably two people noticed that Troy is now ranked 25th in the AP poll. You guys have enjoyed my hot Maction takes all year, but no Mac picks for me today, but I do have a hot Sunbelt action pick.
That's fine.
Troy is an 8.5-point favorite. They're riding high. They're ranked 25th. And so everyone's going to say, oh, wow, now's the time to roll with Troy. Not so fast, my friend. Arkansas State, second best team in the Sun Belt, could still win the Sun Belt. This game's huge for them. They're getting more than a touchdown. Take the points with Arkansas State.
I'll take your word for it. You know how much I like Arkansas State.
Absolutely.
We'll see them playing like January like 8th in the
GoDaddy. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And load up on them.
These teams might actually just play again in the GoDaddy Bowl. It's actually February 22nd this year. It's a little late, but it's nice to have that game, you know, in the middle of February. It's big.
All right. Big game.
Saturday, November 19th. The GoDaddy Bowl, by the way, is like one of the greatest gambling bowls ever because every other game used to be over except for the championship game, which is a week wait. And so you're like, it's 2 days after the other games ended. You're like, oh, I got to get that hit of sports gambling. Like, what's on? Arkansas State, Toledo? Yep, yep. Oh, yeah, Toledo. Meanwhile, you know nothing about either team, but you're like, ah, I heard Toledo's pretty hot this year. The Rockets.
Yep. Have to, like, talk yourself into bets. It's great. And it's a total degenerate type of year. You're like, oh, there's only two NFL games this weekend? Or, like, four? Here we go. Yeah.
Enough. It's like the Sunday night after the NFL playoffs have ended. It's like the Cowboys have just beaten the Seahawks to advance to the like division finals. And you're like, I'm not done yet. I've had like seven beers today. I can't sleep. I'm all wired. Put some money on Arkansas State.
Get ready.
Or, you know, like, so I've heard. I've never done that personally. But, you know, it's what one might do were one so inclined.
One has to do.
Saturday, November 19th, let's begin with the Big Ten. Wisconsin -28 at Purdue. Maryland at Nebraska. Nebraska, a 13.5-point favorite. That's a lot of people like that on covers.com, one of the highest-ranking bets toward Nebraska. Ohio State -21.5 at the terrible Michigan State. And then Indiana at Michigan. Michigan -24. That's without Wilton Spate. That's with John O'Korn. Speaking of Houston, Houston transfer. And then Penn State -28 at Rutgers. So a lot of big lines, a lot of sort of games that theoretically should be one-sided, but the lines might be a little high. Who wants to take this one first? Danny.
That's right, Tom. I'm going to do a rare Big Ten chime in here today. Have to bet Penn State. Rutgers lost, 76-0, 68-0, and 59-0 to Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. you have to lay the 28. I mean, come on, it's in the 20s, it's not in the 40s. I'll take Purdue in 4 touchdowns against a Wisconsin team that has trouble scoring. And I want no part of Nebraska ever until I figure them out. I need help. That's it.
Ryan, any thoughts to add?
Actually, glad Dan took those games. I have zero interest in any of them. The only Big Ten game I actually really like this week is, it pains me to say it, Ohio State. That number's too low. That number's way too – that number should be 28 like the rest of them. That there's no reason 21.5 is way too low. They know they're number two. They know that style points matter. They know that if they beat Michigan, they still don't make the Big Ten championship game. So I think that Urban Meyer, in his super dick way, is just going to start going to run-up mode. I mean, he's going to try to do everything he can to win 63-0 every game.
It is,
you're absolutely right.
It is the year of the dick, as described on last week's podcast.
It is.
I have very dickish year. This is 2016 is the year of the dick.
Yep.
I have a comment or a pick on every one of these games, so let's just roll down the list, and hopefully they should all be self-explanatory. Wisconsin laying 28 is way too much. Take Purdue. Maryland and Nebraska, normally that's an easy pick for Nebraska. Maryland's garbage, but Tommy Armstrong is either not playing or he'll be in bad shape. So that's a total stay away, that game. 100% agree with Spillett. Ohio State is just going to roll over Michigan State. I would take them by 30. Michigan starting John O'Korn, that's a home game. Indiana's feisty this year. That's too many points. I'd take Indiana. And as Dan said, I would lay it with Penn State. So those are my picks. I feel good about all of those, except for the uncertainty with Nebraska makes me want to stay away. But even with a backup, if I had to pick that game, I'd still go Nebraska. That's it. Moving along, unless anyone else has anything else. All right. Keep it rolling.
We did good. We did good as a group, finally, I think, for the first time in like 2 weeks. On one conference, like, we actually, I feel confident about those picks. And I'm going to make like 4 or 5 bets in the Big Ten. I'm excited.
When the three of us can agree, we usually do pretty well. I don't know the numbers, but we have a pretty high winning percentage. But when we go, like, two of us feel strongly and the other person's like, I'm not really sure, then we're always wrong.
And that's 90% of the time, just to make.
Oh, yeah. Three of us agree it happens like one game a week.
But crush it's a lot. On that one game. I don't know game. Which one it is.
It's usually the Texas Tech over until recently. Speaking of which, smooth segue. I didn't even intend to do that. But the Big 12 is our next conference. The aforementioned Texas Tech goes to Iowa State. 3.5-point favorite. A shockingly low over-under of 76. And as I alluded to before, Texas Tech 0-2-1 the last 3 weeks for that over. So they're on a cold streak, but the over-under has dropped significantly. So what do we do, boys?
I'm going to get us started here with the Big 12. Let me jump on this.
Well, I want to hear specifically about this game, and then we'll go to the rest.
Oh yeah. I'm going to start with this game. First of all, love Texas Tech in this game. 3.5. Iowa State, the head coach, got his first career conference win last week. Super letdown game. They finally got their win. I think they're satisfied. They're happy. They're not going to go winless in the Big 12. So I really, really like Texas Tech a lot. I think that the underplay is not the play. I know the streak 0-2-1 is not great. Doesn't matter. Absolutely bet the over, but I really like Texas Tech by 3.5 a lot more.
All right. Dan, you have thoughts on that game?
Over. It's just a matter of time before it comes back in. It's been 3 weeks. It's not going to be 4. Over.
How many times have we been sitting at the roulette table where you're like, it's been 3 reds in a row.
I don't,
gotta be black.
I don't know what you're talking about. I paid good money for that therapy.
And then it goes on green and we all lose. Anyway, I was, before I saw the spreads this week, I was thinking, I'm done. I'm done with Texas Tech's overs. We got them early in the season. Vegas caught up and they've actually overinflated it. I almost went with an under last week because it was so high, but you know, my conscience wouldn't allow me to do such a thing. But then Vegas, they're so sneaky. They drop it back down to 76. And, you know, relatively speaking, I'm like, whoa, that's so low. Of course, that means it's got to be like 46 to 30, but it just seems so low. So got to do it.
It does.
Vegas is sneaky. They know what to do. They know how to reel you back in. All right. Kansas State -2.5 at Baylor. Oklahoma State at TCU -4. Texas -24 at Kansas. And then the big game in the Big 12 this week, Oklahoma -3 at West Virginia. So what do we think about those games, Dan?
I like Oklahoma right off the bat. You know, they played a really hard non-conference schedule, but I think they're going to end up winning the conference. But hats off to West Virginia. They've played great all year. Holgorsen lost it on the sideline last week. I don't know if anybody saw that. It was really fun. It was old school, like 5 years ago, Dana, like really intense. So it got me kind of excited for West Virginia again. But Oklahoma's playing some really good ball, as much as I hate them. I think they're just a favorite. All the other games are really tough this week. That's the only one I really like, so pass it.
Is it fair to say Dana Holgorsen has salvaged his job at least one more year? Even if they end up losing two more games and they end up in, say, the Tax Slayer Bowl against Auburn?
It's West Virginia. Like, there's nothing else there besides their college sports. It's hard to recruit in the middle of nowhere. I mean, hats off to at least, you know, being competitive. And I have no idea how that college stays competitive. I don't know what the appeal is. So really good job by Dana, and you know, they produce NFL players and they're always ranked and great job. Really great job.
Oh, we had a little bit of technical issues, but I think what Dan was saying was great job to Dana Holgorsen. Spill it. Anything to add about those games?
I think Dan's right. I think Oklahoma's the play. And, but just a few thoughts while we're on the Big 12. Two thoughts. One, Baylor +2 at home just looks so weird to see. Just super, super weird to see.
Don't do it.
Oh, I know. But here's my question. Who do they need to hire? Do they need to go out and get a big-name established coach with a reputation? Do they need to get someone with prior ties to Baylor pre-allegations? Or do they need to go out and just get like this super unknown young guy who's just going to go in and just anonymously work his tail off?
I have an answer, gentlemen. But Dan has an answer first.
They can just wait till after this year when Charlie Strong gets fired and hire him. He's perfect.
Okay, that's a more optimistic answer than I had. My answer was none, because they're not going to be able to get any of those. No big star person's going to go to Baylor with what's going on. And I guess a rising up-and-comer is really their only option, in my opinion. It's bad. I mean, it seems like every week or now every month, something new comes out about that school. They haven't really made drastic changes aside from firing Briles and firing Mr. Ken Starr, which is ridiculous that Ken Starr can ruin yet another thing. But I don't see it happening. They'd have to make some major structural changes. I think they need a temporary guy a la Bill O'Brien at Penn State to like ride out the storm for a couple years. Their goal for the next couple years should be not to fall off completely, to just sort of hold it down at like 7-5. And then hope that this passes, and then hope that they can get lucky with a real like up and coming star coach. We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if Baylor football never really gets back to where they were. They weren't Penn State, you know. They weren't Florida State or Miami. Like, they were not really a powerhouse until 2009, 2011. So there's no history to fall back on. There's a good chance they could be done. Which doesn't make me happy.
Unless they hire the one person who can save the school. Not as coach, athletic director. One person who can save that school. Mr. Mac Brown. Mac Brown is Texas football. Mac Brown knows every member of the Texas Board of Regents on a first name basis, probably has dirt on a couple of them. He is the one. He's never had problems. All those recruiting classes, all those dudes, he never had allegations, never had unruly craziness. So I think that's the play. I think Baylor needs to get a pile of money together and offer the AD position to Mac Brown. Let him go out and pick a coach. No one's going to question him for at least the first 2 to 3 seasons.
I like it. If he's willing, that may be seen as an act of treason by many people in Texas. So I don't know if he's going to want to put himself in that position, but I like it on paper. Yeah, straight cash, homie. It's the answer to everything.
All right. So that was my question. I really appreciate that. My other Big 12 question, because Dan actually kind of alluded to this. Oklahoma's schedule. Oklahoma's winning out. Oklahoma's having impressive wins. Is the Big 12's back door into the playoff completely 100% closed?
No.
No. Oklahoma can still make it.
What are the odds, Dan, on Oklahoma making the playoff? Is that available online? That's going to be around 600 or so, I bet. And that's something I would look into. As much as I hate them, I'd love to see them get in so I can bet a pile of money against Stoops again.
While Dan looks that up, here's my hot take. There are a handful of teams that still have a chance and a bunch of teams that are already sort of ruled out. When you look at the 2-loss teams that have a chance, you have Wisconsin, Penn State. If those two play in the Big Ten championship and one wins, then both have a chance. This all assumes that, you know, Washington or Clemson or somebody else loses another game. But if they do and a 2-loss team gets in, I think the ones with the best chance will be the Penn State, Wisconsin, Big Ten champ, and Oklahoma. So absolutely, they have a shot. They definitely need some help, though. I think they'll get that help, possibly. But it's going to be tough. I picture them ending the season right around like 6, just sort of missing out.
Do they get in over 1-loss Louisville?
No, would be my take.
Do they get in over 1-loss Washington?
No.
Again, no, not if Washington wins the Pac-12. But we just don't know, because last year broke so cleanly for the playoff. And the first year, the big problem was picking from so many great teams. We don't know what they would do if there was this scenario where they had to go into a group of like 5 or 6 2-loss teams and pick amongst those. We have no clue what their selection criteria would be. So I would like 1 or 2 more big upsets and get some chaos and let's see what the committee does. And that will first off show us what their real motivations are. And secondly, it might pave the way for 8 teams, which is the endorsed number of playoff teams by Take the Points for a couple of years now.
Yep.
It's funny. I defended the BCS for so many years. And then after the first playoff, that like the day after, I was like, well, I was wrong, folks.
Yeah.
And then right after that, people were like, what about 8 teams? I'm like, I'm not going to be on the wrong side of history here. Like, if they want to go to 8 teams, let's do it. After that, perfect. You start getting a little sketchy. Like, I don't think we need a Western Michigan team in the playoff. But
No, that's going to happen. Just so you know, if they go to 8 teams, it'll be 5 conference champs, 2 automatic bids, and 1 from the group of 5. They're going to get a playoff spot locked in. It's going to be an automatic.
Good. Yeah, and that's okay with me, provided the group of 5 team meets some sort of like basic minimum criteria, like no
correct.
More than 1 loss and ranked within the top 20, for example.
Undefeated.
Okay. This
year's
Western Michigan team, I think, would qualify. I would even allow under those rules this year's Boise State if they were to win out and only have one loss. I would not take a Houston team with two losses. But if you want to put Boise in there at the eight spot and let them get smoked by Alabama, I have nothing against that. Why not give them the shot? The other teams can fight over seven spots. That's enough for the big schools. But, folks, and I don't want to spoil things, I don't know if Western Michigan's going undefeated.
Uh-oh. Hot take.
Not yet. This is a November 25th hot take. Stay tuned for one week. Anyway, let's move along to the ACC. Dan, did you find the Oklahoma odds?
No, they don't have just to make the college football playoff, but to win it all, 28-1.
All right. So you got to guess to make the playoff is a little bit lower than that. 17-1, maybe?
Alabama -140 to win it. Crazy.
Sounds about right.
It's fucking absurd.
ACC, Miami -3 at NC State. Duke at Pitt -7.5. Va Tech at Notre Dame, pick 'em. Florida State -21 at the Cuse. And then Clemson -22 at Wake Forest. Not a lot of great games. Anything stand out to either of you? Ryan?
I like three games. The Va Tech Notre Dame is the shadiest line of the week. That is so super shady. We know Vegas accounts for Notre Dame fandom, but that line is way too shady for me. I feel like I should jump on Va Tech, but something's telling me that something's weird. So I'm going to hold out on that game, but I really like that game. The Pitt-Duke game. This is my letdown game of the week. Pitt got their big win. Duke 7.5. Love the half point. Absolutely. I think Pitt wins, but I think Pitt wins by maybe 3 or 4. No more than 6. Really, really like that. And then Syracuse. Love Florida State. Syracuse going with the backup quarterback, Mahoney. Always suspect when you're playing a backup quarterback, even at home. So I like Florida State a lot. I think that line should be more like 27.5.
Dan, any picks?
I like Clemson a lot to come back and wax Wake badly and get back on the map and just say, hey, we lost on a fluke last second thing. Don't worry about it. Outside of that, pretty hard. I wouldn't support Pitt this week. That's a tough spot. Even though I was super impressed by their play calling all game, loved it. It was such a brilliant game plan. The whole thing was A+. They weren't scared right off the bat. It was really great. Miami, I haven't figured out all year yet. It's rigged. It's going to take me probably, 8-9 years to get a hold of that Miami situation with rigged. I'm going to check back in on me, I don't know, 2023, 2024. And I'm not going to watch Va Tech Notre Dame. So, yeah, pretty much it's Clemson. First half line for sure.
Question.
Yes.
If Clemson this week has a short yardage, 1 yard to gain, and they run a toss play, does Dabo have the right to chop off an OC's finger?
Yeah.
Does he have a legitimate case to literally chop off his finger if he calls another toss play on short yardage?
There's very few things I hate more than 3rd and 1 when they decide to run a pitch outside for -3. Makes me mental, especially in college football. So, yeah, if they do it again, I'll be shocked. But bad play calling last week by Clemson killed him. Hats off to Pitt, though. They played a hell of a game.
I agree. I think that should be punishable by loss of finger for any team at any time, regardless of circumstance. The only exception I'll make is the when the quarterback looks one way and does the blind pitch backwards, the like change of direction play.
The most unstoppable Madden play of all time. Fake right to the fullback, pitch it out wide. Yeah. Love that play.
That straight play toss. I'm okay with.
Not with three dudes pulling. It too much can go wrong when you got three dudes trying to pull and they're all over 300 pounds. College defenses are so much smaller and faster. It's just a dumb play.
when you're Clemson and you have all that talent and you're playing a team like Pitt, who's good but not quite as good, you just want to pound it up the middle. I will say when teams have the long 1 yard, you're fourth and one, but it's really closer to fourth and two. My favorite play is the sort of naked QB bootleg, especially when you have a guy like Deshaun or Lamar. You do the naked bootleg, but then you have that tight end string out, so you have the run pass option. I think that's pretty much unstoppable when you have a great QB. So do that.
We saw a lot of that in the Bills-Seahawks Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, folks, listeners, I have to get my one Bills reference in every podcast. Screw you guys.
Dan has ordered from Amazon a new mute function that he's just a button he presses when either of us talk about the Buffalo Bills. Just mutes us like Tony Reale style.
I apologize, listeners, for these two.
Anyway, I was going to say, you mentioned Vatek Notre Dame being the shady line, where a line seems so shady or so far off that you question it because the line is off, you think Vegas must know something that you don't know. We talked about this a few weeks ago and we said we needed a name. I was thinking about like Occam's razor and how one of my life goals is to always like have a razor named after me, like Zeleznok's razor. Now you can't name your own razor. I think that's a rule. So I want to declare this one, either Partridge's razor or Spillett's razor. One of you can take it.
You got it, Ryan.
I think Ryan's got it. All right.
I haven't. If you, the listeners can't see, but I haven't used a razor in like a month.
That's true. So. Neither of you are very well shaven.
Is that I am a chic man. I don't give a dollar to the Kraft/Gillette family. So therefore, I would like to recommend everyone only use chic like myself.
100% agree. I will add my little story. I was at Target a couple of months back looking to buy a razor, which, by the way, Target, if you're listening, screw you guys. Carry more than one style of razor outside of Gillette. Anyways.
Did you have to go through like the fingerprinting and like have the police give you a cavity search? Then they open up a plastic case and like with a key?
Not a Target. It's all good nowadays. Phoenix, whatever. There's guns in aisle six. They don't care about the razors. Anyways, I'm there looking. Mother and son walk into the aisle. Most likely the first time he's buying a razor. He's with his mother, which is obviously kind of weird. As far as for the guy having to buy his first razor, it looked like. And I calmly walked over to them as they looked at the 37 options and said, please don't buy Gillette. Don't support those cheating Patriots. Have a nice day. And walked out. Oh, yeah. Total strangers. I will tell anybody. Screw Gillette. Screw Kraft. By others.
I'm rethinking my strategy. I may have some Mach 3s in the cupboard. I love how people right now are using their power to protest out in the streets of New York City. They're saying that they don't want to purchase from certain companies who like move overseas and other companies who support political candidates they don't like. You guys are like, this is my cause. I will stand up against razors that help Bob Kraft.
Correct. If I pay Tom Brady's salary, I couldn't live with myself.
I've refused to eat Kraft singles, even though he has nothing to do with it. I can't have anything that has the same name.
No, he owns Kraft.
Oh, does he?
That's him.
I thought that was a coincidence.
No. He owns both.
Good. Good thing I don't eat those. I've also refused to buy blue shirts with white collars. Not because I'm protesting him, but because I'm too poor. I'm not allowed to buy them. You have to show a pay stub that where you made at least $1
million. Love it.
All right.
All right, we got a couple of other games from the other conference. UConn at Boston College. Danny, UConn alum, Boston College, though, is your favorite school in America. So who are you going to side with?
UConn.
All right. I have, like most people in Connecticut, I've lost interest in UConn football, and I really couldn't tell you what they're up to. I've now moved on to the new worst team, the UConn men's basketball team. Now 0-2.
Yeah, they're the worst.
They've lost to Northeastern and Wagner.
0-2. I love it.
Wagner.
It's great.
You should not lose to a team from Staten Island.
UConn is the funniest basketball school in the country. People don't understand. They, like, win a national title every 4 years, but they'll, like, have years where they're awful. And they're, like, the 100th best team in the country somehow. Like, how is that possible to have those swings? Like, Duke is either the best or, like, the 7th. And there was a time for like, a year they were 13th and people wanted to jump off the roof. But they're just bad UConn teams, like, really bad. Hats off to them. So funny.
Feels like an NIT year for UConn. NIT champion. Right. Dan, if they win, can I buy an NIT champions shirt and send it out to you?
I would prefer it.
You think they make that?
Yeah, for sure they make it. People in Connecticut will buy all that shit. What other sports team they gonna root for? I mean, come on.
How about the Mohegan Sun? Or the Connecticut Sun.
You're going to root for the actual casino?
The Connecticut Sun, by the way, not named after the star that the Earth rotates around. They are named after the casino that they play in.
So funny.
Good stuff. Dan, do we have time for you to do a Mohegan versus Foxwood casino breakdown?
Sure. Well, I will preface this by saying that I have not been to either in, you know, probably 8 years or something, but I used to frequent them both a lot.
Well, they're exactly the same.
Okay, good. Then I have your breakdown. Old Mohegan Sun was really cool. And then they, like, renovated it and made it more like, you know, more like a shopping mall and restaurants, which is great and fun. But Old Mohegan was really cool in, like, kind of a shady casino in a way. I'm definitely going to get whacked for this. But I don't want to say shady. It was just not Foxwoods. Foxwoods looks like, in the movie The Wizard of Oz, it looks like the Emerald Castle, kind of. It's in the middle of the woods in Connecticut, and all of a sudden you see this green, massive building. I think it's the largest casino in the world, like actual casino floor, which it makes sense because it does go on for miles. Some epic poker games used to go down there, but Old Mohegan Sun was really cool. I loved it. It used to be my favorite casino. And actually, if it was like it used to be, it'd still be my favorite casino I've ever been to. But, you know, of course, you got to switch and make more modern. But they're both very cool and underrated and a lot of great action.
What are your favorite non-Vegas casinos around the world or the country or wherever?
I've been to the Amsterdam Casino. That was fun. Mohegan Sun's good. I like Talking Stick here in Phoenix is really good. I would say the Trump Taj Mahal's very top-notch and a model for all other hotels to, kind of model themselves after would be more appropriate. No, in all seriousness, I used to really like playing poker in the Taj Mahal back in the day. It had that old school smells like cigarettes all the time feel. And I actually remember watching the World Series of Poker with like Chris Moneymaker on the TVs. We're like, Moneymaker, that's a funny coincidence. Like that actually happened. Like that was real. But yeah, Mohegan Sun, great casino. Always had a good time. I gambled there a lot illegally underage, had a fake ID. A lot of good stories with that. Got into a VIP room. There's shit. It's so fun. Good for them.
Spill it, your question. What is the best Armory Square bar in Syracuse?
Oh, God.
I wanted to make it fair and give you a question along similar lines.
Blue Tusk.
I mean, I haven't been down there in 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Well, you got the Suds Factory, you got Flip Night. If you flip a coin and you win, you get a beer that probably cost them 10 cents to make.
Yeah,
if
that's
lose,
been gone
you,
since like
if you 02. Lose, you pay $17 for that same beer.
Yeah, that was Flip Night's been gone since like 02.
It might be
let's
bad.
See. I mean, Mully's is going to be mostly lacrosse people. Suds is going to be a little bit more douchey. I don't know. What are the other ones? Corner bars, stupid. They're all pretty bad. The smaller, the better. That's what I say. The smaller, the better. The least amount of people you can get in there, it's probably going to be a better time.
So I think we're in agreement then. It's Zoo Station.
Zoo Station.
Zoo Station was like the size of my living room. And you would go in there and they would just play like 90s music videos on a huge screen.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it didn't really last. It turns out that the bar that's like perfect for us, most people on Earth are not into it.
What? The Shire was perfect for us. What are you guys talking about? That's the best bar in Syracuse.
Okay, so I'm going to... This podcast
is spiraled.
Yeah. I'm going to pause there and stop because I'm working next week on a Thanksgiving-themed, Syracuse-themed episode. It's going to be all about our hometown and growing up there. So I don't want to spoil anything or waste any great stories about the Shire or the guy who made the bowl out of tinfoil. Or when Spoiler. I used to get my car service
Spoiler
behind,
alerts.
When I got my car air conditioning serviced at Dreamgirls 2. We don't want to ruin any of those.
Oh, boy. That's...
That's not nice. The only thing that got serviced at Dreamgirls 2. Easiest joke of all time.
You got it there.
Oh, boy. All right.
Anyway, if you enjoy Syracuse, or if you're one of these liberal elites on the coast who wants to learn about Middle America, tune in next week for the greatest Take the Points episode of all time. Mm-hmm. Moving along, though, quickly, San Diego State -10 at Wyoming. Two good teams. Dan's got a pick.
San Diego State, some absurd stat, like 19-3 against the spread their last 22 games in conference. We've made a couple weird wagers on Wyoming throughout the year, and last week I saw they gave up like they played 65-63 game, and I don't know what that means, but San Diego State always covers. I think you just got to keep betting San Diego State regardless of opponent. Yeah, San Diego State for sure.
All right. Moving along, SEC, Florida at LSU. LSU a 2-touchdown favorite over the fading Florida Gators. Missouri at Tennessee. Tennessee -16. That's a high-confidence game on covers.com. And Arkansas at Mississippi State. Mississippi State favored by 1.5. Interesting. Those are the only three games I wrote down. Spill it. Any picks?
Just that last game. That is my second shady line of the week. Totally don't understand it. Mississippi State coming off the big win. I'm probably the number one Bielema basher out there. And even I look at this and just say that it feels like easy money, like to go Arkansas there. So that's why I would say don't listen to a word I say because it just feels way too easy.
Arkansas has been fading lately. Mississippi State had their one win recently, so... I think people are tilting in that direction. I'd stay away from that one. Dan, you have any picks?
I like Tennessee to hammer Missouri. I watched them play Vandy last week. They're horrible. And they run this weird hurry up that doesn't generate any points. They had a pick six for a touchdown and a fluke 82-yard touchdown. And Vandy just couldn't score. They're going to get hammered by Tennessee badly. Outside of that, no, super hard week. There's not a lot of action. Next week's the big week for the SEC. So just hang tight. 1 week.
I totally agree on the Tennessee pick, and I couldn't find an over-under yet. We're recording on Wednesday for Florida LSU, but I think we can all agree that's got like 21-16 written all over it. So if that's anything more than 45... Definitely take the under.
If you think Florida can score 16 points on LSU's defense, you're taking bath salts, Tom. They're not getting to double digits.
Well, I assume that LSU's long snapper will snap one over the punter's head and be recovered in the end zone.
Over Fair enough. That's right. 38.5.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah, that seems right on. So that's a stay away. But
yes,
do not go over.
Not to be outdone, UConn BC 37.5.
Well, that game will be 9-6, so that's an easy under. But if you bet that game, then you either have to watch or you have to like even look up the score later. And that's something you don't want to do.
Nope. Don't even do that. Just look and see if you got more money in your account or not.
Wake Forest Clemson 47. That's my last one.
Wake's got a pretty solid D and not a great offense. So stay away from that one too. All right. We have to move along, gentlemen. The Pac-12 coaching farewell tour.
Yes.
Mark Helfrich and Oregon go to Utah, where they're a 14.5-point underdog. Todd Graham and Arizona State go to Washington, where they're a 27-point underdog. And Rich Rodriguez and Arizona go to Oregon State, where they actually are a favorite by 6.5. These coaches, all of whom will most likely be fired, or definitely should be fired, making the last rounds to say goodbye to people across their great Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them are getting fired. Yeah, and Oregon State is laying 6.5 to Arizona, not getting 6.5, which is insane.
I thought I have it written incorrectly then. I have Arizona laying 6.5.
No, they're getting 6.5 at awful Oregon State. That's rock bottom.
That's the worst game of the year in the Pac-12.
Hands down, and all three of these guys will be fired. I think you should wager all three against them. I think the worst you're doing is 2 out of 3. And you might go 3 out of 3. You don't really need a write-up. I think Washington's going to, like, literally destroy Arizona State, like 63-18 or something like that. So it's going to be a wild ride. I like Ryan's theory about teams that kind of lost last week, got to put on a little style points, and I think – Washington's going to hammer. I think Clemson's going to hammer, you know, so I think Michigan's done. So there you go.
We were talking about a three-team tease. Utah, you would get, what, 6 points in that tease? Tease it down to, like, 8.5. That seems pretty good. Washington is going to murder Arizona State. Like, Todd Graham might do, like, a Wizard of Oz thing where he just, like, melts into the ground at the end of that game. And then if you can have, what, Oregon State minus 12? Or not minus 12, pick 'em, rather.
Pick 'em.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Easy.
So, other games, Stanford minus 11 at Cal, and then the Rose Bowl, USC minus 13 at UCLA. Spillett, do you have thoughts on any of those games?
I think that the USC-UCLA game is a little bit shady. I know everyone looks at it and goes, UCLA doesn't have Rosen, USC's playing amazing, but we know rivalry games. We know that this stuff happens. This is like the super early rivalry game. It's before all the rest of them next week and the week after. So I know everyone's going to hammer USC. I expect that line to go from 13 to at least 14.5. But for me, I would stay away. That just seems a little bit too high for such a huge rivalry game.
The way USC's been playing ever since Darnold took over at QB, I think you can say that they are one of the top 8 teams in the country. I mean, I know that you can't rank them that high because of their record, but if I'm just looking at talent, I'm putting them probably top 8. People like them. Dan, you have a pick? Would you like to do shout out to the game? What's it called? The Stanford at Cal game?
The game.
I think it's the game.
They've been coasting off that legacy for way too long.
I hear you, Ryan, about USC and all that, but USC, I think, honestly, if you just had to close your eyes and pick like the best 4 teams in the country to play, I think they're in there. I think they're going to hammer UCLA bad by like 35. So lock of the week, USC.
Ooh. All right, game of the week.
We'll see. Or they're going to lose outright, so whatever.
In a million years, I would not have projected that this would be our game of the week in week 12 of the college football season, but here we are. Mike Leach's Washington State Cougars travel to Colorado. Colorado's a 4.5-point favorite, and this somehow is the best game of the week and the one I'm most looking forward to, even though it's past my bedtime. I can't really watch it. So, Dan, break it down. We were on Colorado early.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, first of all, Washington State, Mike Leach, a lot of points. Luke Falk, quarterback, throwing it all over the place. Smart team, underrated defense, underrated head coach. Other side of the coin, Colorado, really good defense, underrated. A lot of guys have played together a lot of years on that defense, I know for sure. People said going into this year, Colorado had a lot of guys returning on defense and to watch for that. And I remember right off the bat, like that first like August game against Colorado State, watching them, and they were just hammering people off the bat in the first half. And it kind of just kept going. And then they should have beat, or at least hung with Michigan if it wasn't for quarterback injury. And besides then, been smashing people. At one point, they were 8-0 straight, or they were 8-0 against the spread to start the year. It's hard to fade teams like that. So this line for this game is 4.5, which means that the teams are exactly even. And they're probably 4.5 points is worth playing at home in Colorado and Boulder. If this game was in, you know, Washington State, it'd be the other way around, probably 4.5. So in this case, it's really hard to say, but I'd probably leaning – as crazy as it sounds, I'd probably take the points because Leach is a really, really great coach. And I hate betting against Colorado because they've been awesome all year. But if I had to, I would do that. But I'd probably just watch this game. It's going to be a ton of fun. Guaranteed great game.
Spill it.
Get in the shed.
Hashtag.
Love hashtag.
Every week, you know my play. You know what I'm going to say. Take Cliff Kingsbury. Take Mike Leach. Everything Dan said was spot on. Really, really well broken down. Colorado's is really excellent this year on both sides. And but I just – I'm going to roll with my boy, man. I'm going to roll with my boy. I just think Washington State is just can score way too many points to lay 4.5. If they lose, it might be by, you know, 3 or less. But I will roll with the Cougars.
Last week we talked about how Rich Rodriguez had coached himself out of the MAC 2023, which is a thing we do where we ask if which coaches will be coaching in the MAC in 2023. Has Leach coached himself out of MAC 2023 in a positive direction?
Right now, for sure. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a temporary boost by Leach where he's doing well this season, or you think he's sort of like figured it out? Because in my opinion, this might be his best team ever, or his best coaching job ever as well.
This is the best defense he's had. I'd say that Mike Leach is probably, as a coach, should be about where their team is ranked. I think that's about right. I think he's right around, hovering around the top 20.
All right, so I get the deciding vote then here. We've got Dan going with Colorado. Or, no, Dan, you took the points, but you think Colorado will win, correct?
No. Oh, well, yeah, but I really, yes.
Oh, all right. Then I guess my vote doesn't matter. Just yes, like America, guys, right?
That's funny how it all came full circle back to the election.
I like Washington State outright. However, there is one scenario which I will flip to Colorado, and that is if pregame I see special guest captains, like two Colorado players can walk out and then they'll have two special guest captains. Do you want to guess who those guest captains will be? Dan? One's a former Pittsburgh Steeler.
Cordell Stewart, I knew, I was about to say. And Michael Westbrook.
Oh, Westbrook would be good, Dan, but I think the one we really need is Mr. Rashawn Salaam.
Okay, I knew it was 2 out of 3.
If I see
run-ins with the law.
If I see a Rashawn Salaam sighting, I'm going Colorado.
I don't think you can invite Cordell and not bring Westbrook. I think it's a package deal. They go back to Boulder, they have to go back together.
All right, I'll take all three of them.
Greatest play ever.
They could retire all of their numbers. Well, they probably have retired some of their numbers, but if not, they can retire all three of them together. This is a big game for Colorado. If they win this, they could win the South.
Good point, Dan. That is the best Hail Mary.
It's the best Hail Mary ever. He threw it almost 80 yards in the air. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. 80. That is the best Hail Mary ever. 80.
Yeah, against a team who had two losses the entire year, that loss and against Penn State, who went undefeated. It wasn't against a shit team. Like, they're the third best team in the country. Anyway, we can talk about 1994 music later, and if you want to bring this all full circle, but I'll kick it back to Tom.
Next week, we'll do our Syracuse/Thanksgiving episode, and one of these times, we'll just do an all-90s episode. We should actually get lines from 1994 and just break down the games and pretend we're actually living there, since that's kind of what we do anyway. Those are the games, fellas. Anything else you want to add about football? I do have a couple other topics we could talk about briefly.
I think we're good on football.
All right, Dan, would you like to talk about your miraculous invention, the home lie detector test?
Oh, okay, yeah. Real quick. If there's anybody out there with any real money and you want to get rich, you need to find me on my LinkedIn page and we'll get connected. No, but
you can seriously find Dan on the new Take the Points Facebook page, which he manages.
People are out of control crazy more than ever, and I'm not turning into an old man. I am, but it has nothing to do with my first statement. We have a new president. People are very hypersensitive. Social media, blah, blah, blah. How good would a personal lie detector be? Think about how much of a hit this would be. First, you need to start them like computers, a little bit larger, hard to, you know, maneuver around. You put them in hands of young people. Like, they're like, say, oh, I'm in college. I'm going out to the bar. They have two lie detector machines. You will ruin relationships. You will have the best jokes ever. People will get drunk, get in there and tell shit they should never tell anybody. They'll put it online. That'll be great. And then it'll eventually move to a handheld one where, like, we can just walk up to somebody and just strap it on their wrist and be like, just a couple questions, and get, like, a 99.997% accurate result. There's no reason this can't happen. We've been using the same machine for, like, it seems about 300 years where, you know, there's some ways around it. I think if you're chewing on a penny or you're or some weird thing like that, there's a way to get around it. But come on, lie detectors. Figure it out. Make them accessible. We'll put them everywhere and we'll make a ton of money.
First off, I don't see why this has to be a giant machine. Like, somebody could figure this out on an iPhone and just get a little bit, some sort of adapter kit for an iPhone.
So, I know.
I reject your idea that it has to start out as some huge machine. I say go straight to the smartphone.
Okay.
This would be the worst thing to ever happen to our country.
I know. It's coming. Like 3 years.
It would make
there's a good chance.
Now, here's the thing. Like, all, like, politicians, CEOs, like, all bigwigs who were known for lying, like, finally we'd have this way to hold them accountable and people would be like, this is amazing. But then we'd realize people would start using it on regular people and be like, oh, shit, this is the worst thing that ever happened. It's a real, like, monkey's paw.
It's the greatest party favor. Oh. Instead of the photo booth, instead of renting the photo booth for your party, instead you rent the lie detector for your party.
Yes. Oh.
And it's like the real world. You stick them in the confessional room. You think they're gonna say happy birthday to the host, but really you strap them up and you go, all right, back in 97, I thought my pillow, you told me that a bottle of water spilled on my pillow. You pissed on my head in college, didn't you? These are the things I need to know. That's the greatest part.
All right, we're back. While you were talking about how great the lie detector test would be, Skype made a weird noise and then totally cut out. I think the alien overlords, the robot overlords, are not in favor of your idea.
It's going to end humanity, the lie detector test. It'll ruin everything all the way down to when we're just, everyone just goes back to like 2,000 years ago. We're just like, I need to find something to eat. And you see someone with an apple and you hit him with a rock just to get the apple. You'll still hook like the lie detector on the wrist and be like, where were the apples at? Like, it's going to be the end of everything. I'm looking forward to it.
Straight up Lord of the Flies.
That's coming.
I say that the minute the robots defeated the humans was a couple years ago when the Roku 3 came out and they decided not to have an on-off switch. It just stays on all the time. Like, when the robots attacked before, like, had they attacked, you could always just, like, pull the plug or hit that on-off switch. But now they're becoming, like, they're becoming aware, and you can't turn them off. And when humans fight the ultimate battle with the robots in 20 years, I think we're going to look back and we're going to see that was a mistake. Along with the lie detector test idea.
Well, yes, as well. You know what? On the topic of technology, real quick, you know, all of us liked a band called Our Lady Peace back in the day, and they had that album Spiritual Machines about the Ray Kurzweil writings. We should kind of revisit that and see if any of the stuff predicted about 15 years in the future was accurate at all, or that was just a bunch of alt-rock mumbo-jumbo. We might have to investigate that for the next podcast to see if any of the, like, by 2020, humans will be having sex in the sky with their...
So we, time. I mean, if you want, we're running over time, but we don't have to revisit that because the Spiritual Machines album was based on the works of Ray Kurzweil, and those predictions are all his, not Our Lady Peace's. And, you know, working in tech, I know about his predictions and, you know, what he's predicted and what's come true. You know, nothing's really come true except for he predicted the pace, the exponential pace of computers getting better and better. But all his big predictions were like late 2020. So we still have a ways to go before the so-called singularity where humans and machines meld into one form.
I didn't realize that you really, really got into Our Lady Peace after you, you know, moved to Connecticut. But you know, I'm still behind you.
It's my job. I've got I've been hired to end the human race, Dan. I didn't tell you I got a new gig over the weekend.
Kardashian sacrifice, human lie detector test, spiritual machines. That's all you need.
You know, on the topic of technology, Facebook and Twitter just announced today Facebook's banning fake news sites and Twitter is banning a bunch of trolls. It's really bad timing because I was going to come on here today and announce my new marketing plan for Take the Points. There are these trolls that are in Russia and this country called Macedonia. And basically what they do is you just hire them to like troll people and they troll like spreading the word about you or your product. You know, a lot of public figures use it, but I thought we could be the first podcast to use it so that when like Dan Carlin's Hardcore History put out an episode, all our trolls would attack and be like, fuck this show. Take the Points is better. But now they've been banned. So like my army of trolls idea is not going to work. So if you guys have other marketing ideas, I mean, we have the Syracuse New Times. I had an army of evil trolls from Russia, but that one might not work. I guess back to the drawing board.
Just go ahead and just watch South Park. They're handling the election and the troll stuff perfectly. If you haven't kept up, folks, do yourself a favor. This entire troll conversation has been covered this whole season on South Park, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Please do yourself a favor, folks.
All right. I've been behind. I haven't caught that. Any parting shots from either of you before we call it a night? Ryan?
Looking forward to Thanksgiving next week and then potentially a trip to Las Vegas to bet the conference championship games. So really looking forward to that.
There's no potential. As soon as we end this podcast in 2 minutes, I'm booking the hotel room. So we're going to go back for conference champions weekend. So that'll be fun. Outside of that, not much. I guess there was some sort of election that went down. I guess we should all just give it a chance. Nothing happened?
Never happened.
One parting shot. This whole
Dan, it's still 1994. I just saw Kerry Collins throw a touchdown. This cool new band called Silverchair just released an album.
Frog Stomp. You know what? I was going to talk about the Phil Jackson, LeBron James posse thing, but I think I'll talk about Frog Stomp instead. So Israel Sun is an excellent underrated track, and it's got a killer bass line that's like way underrated, and I think I might listen to that. So besides that, have a great college football weekend.
Oh, wait, wait. We can't end. We have to talk about Drake.
Oh, yes. Time out.
Shit. What? I totally blew this. I'm sorry, listeners. You've been listening to us ramble for the last 20 minutes, but this is super important. Dan, take it away.
Actually, I'll give it to Ryan. He's our NBA guy.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Yes, I am the resident NBA guru here. And as I was preparing and getting ready for this podcast to start, I was watching the pregame Raptors-Warriors, because why not? And Drake, the rapper, was having a press conference. I have no idea why, but apparently he was having a press conference before the game, like where the coaches do it. And he was wearing his new shirt, custom made. Instead of Woman Crush Wednesday, he has Woman Crush Every Day, featuring Take the Points favorite, Doris Burke. That's right, folks. For weeks now, Drake and Doris Burke have been having a social media love fest. It is amazing. Spend 20 minutes of your day. Look this up on Google. They've been going back and forth. Doris Burke claims Drake hit on her. He's blowing kisses back at her. He's wearing t-shirts with her. It's amazing. Any loyal listener knows what we feel about Doris Burke. And apparently Drake is our champion.
I have to issue a statement here. You soft ass Canadian pussy. Do not step to my woman. You and your fake ass soft rhymes. Don't move in on my Doris Burke. Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper in America, not you. Get away from my lady. And that's it. Anything else to add, fellas?
No, that was perfect. Well done.
One day before the singularity and we all lose our lives to the robots, we will get Doris Burke on this podcast. That's the Take the Points promise.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
Until then, you can follow all of us on Twitter. The Fake Tom Z, D Partridge 10, Harry Hood 11. Dan Partridge is running the brand new, not brand new, but the long inactive Take the Points Facebook page. I urge you all to go there. I have no idea what the URL is, but just look up Take the Points on Facebook. It's now finally active, and Dan, who knows what he's doing, is running it. And it's going to be a good follow, I promise you.
It'll be a great follow next year. We're really just playing around with it this year to see what's going on. But ever since I changed the main photo from a football field to a picture of our main man, Beano Cook, Penn State has been red hot. That was like 4 weeks ago. I'm just going to put that out there. That's the best football Penn State's played in fucking 20 years since we put that Beano Cook photo out there. I am threatening Penn State Nation. I need money, or I will take it down, and they will lose. Not to Rutgers, but you know, Michigan State, they'll choke. But yeah, anyway, it's not a coincidence, folks. Take the points, Beano Cook, Dan Partridge out. That's all.
Joke's on you, Dan, because they're going to lose to Michigan State anyway.
yeah.
So iTunes, Stitcher, takethepoints.net, tune in next week. Not only will we have a Syracuse episode with special guests, hopefully all three of us and some other friends, talking about cool Syracuse stuff, talking about the Shire, talking about Armory Square, talking about Marvin Graves and Donovan McNabb's poster where he told kids to wear bike helmets. It'll also be our Thanksgiving episode. We'll talk about some things we're thankful for. We'll break down all the cool games and... You just reminded me, I will do my annual rant on the Land-Grant Trophy, which is something that you all do not want to miss. I got a lot of thoughts on this Land-Grant Trophy. If you thought our civil conflict talk was hot a few weeks ago, you just wait to hear my thoughts on the Land-Grant. Until then, good night, everyone, and thank you for listening. Take care. Bye. Cop it back. Chill.
how we do.
Fresh out of school, cause I was a high school grad. Sleeping in the living room on my mama's pad. Reality struck, I seen a white car crash. The light pole, two niggas hopped out on foot and dashed. My pop said I needed a job, I thought I believed him. Security gone for a month and ended up leaving. In fact, I got fired cause I was inspired by all of my friends. The stage of robbery, the third Saturday I clocked in. Projects tore up, gang signs get blown up. Cocaine laced in marijuana. And they wonder why I really smoke now. Imagine if your first blood had you foaming at the mouth. How straight tweaking the next weekend we broke even. I made a legion that made a promise to see you bleeding. You know the reasons, but still I never know my life. Kendrick, aka Compton, human sacrifice.